Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Well, howdy, howdy. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for May 27, 2017. And I'm excited to have Dr. Carl Kalman back on the show to explain the current surge of ninth wave energies and what that means for global transformation of our DNA, our consciousness, and our social, political, and economic institutions. For some background on the show today, I interviewed Dr. Kalman a few months ago, which was shortly after his book came out on the nine waves of creation. So for those who listen to that show or have read his book, you know that Carl's recent article on the surging ninth wave energy cycles is very important as an event that has plenty of evidence of some profound global transformation going on. For those who are new to Dr. Kalman's extremely comprehensive interpretation of the cosmic codes in the Mayan calendar systems, I devoted the last chapter of my recent ebook, Emerging Blueprint for the Golden Age, to Dr. Kalman's findings regarding the global mind and the rise of civilization. And that chapter includes a video explaining the Mayan calendar system in rather brilliantly. So whether you are new to Dr. Kalman's extensive work or have been following his brilliant career, if you're a science geek who wants to comprehend the quantum energy cycles shaping personal and planetary evolution, you'll appreciate Carl's profound insight into the current surge of ninth wave energies at this unique time in Earth's history. So thank you, Dr. Kalman, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Oh, thank you so much, Christopher. Thank you for having me on again. I'm looking forward to this. Thank you.
You're welcome. Carl, you recently published this article that got syndicated by numerous blogs on the Internet saying that May 24th, just a few days ago, was a surge in ninth wave energies that is more significant than your 2012 Mayan calendar predictions. And I've linked that article in the show notes for today. If people haven't read it yet, they can read that. Could you explain why this is such an extraordinary time with integration of these nine waves, these cycles that are converging right now?
Well, you know, first of all, I did not write that article myself. It was produced by Lance, who interviewed me. It's been very widely spread, and I'm happy about that, because at this time I think the most important message of the Mayan calendar is for people to get some kind of, to develop some kind of a resonance with the ninth wave. And this is not the first ninth wave period that we have experienced. In fact, this is like the 64th period in the ninth wave, which really was activated then in March 9th, 2011. And if you recall, that was 2 days before the big 9.0 earthquake in Fukushima. And sometimes because these waves, they come from the center of the universe and are mediated by the Earth, when new waves are activated, they will have that kind of an effect also on the interiors of the Earth and resulting in that kind of a thing as that huge earthquake with huge consequences, still lasting consequences, you might say. But then this, you know, we in the first year, this wave, I should say, the ninth wave, which is the top level of the Mayan calendar system, it's the wave with the highest frequency, that had immediate effects also on the social in the social world, so to speak, because if you do remember, right after that activation in 2011, the world went through a tremendous amount of protest and rebellions, and especially the Arab Spring and the Occupy movement. And that, I should say, came out of the new mind that really could be created by resonance with the ninth wave, which was a mind of unity. And as people, you know, what happens when a new wave is being downloaded is that some people, I should say, not everyone, but a minority of people that are sensitive to the new energies coming in, what opened up was suddenly a frame of unity consciousness. And as a result, in many parts of the world at that time, people saw all the kinds of inequalities and injustices and so forth that had been part of the earlier order of duality. The lower waves in the staircase of the Mayan nine steps, the lower waves are dualistic, essentially. I'm doing this very briefly. But then the ninth wave came up and had no duality. And suddenly some people started to see that there's something wrong with this world. And that's really what was experienced very profoundly. Now, then I should say, I can't go into the details of what my book, The Nine Waves of Creation, explain. But
yeah, we did that in our last show. Can listen to that and go into that whole interview right after your book came out on that book. It's in the archives on the Cosmic Love homepage, so people can go back and check that out. But yeah, I was hoping that you were going to go more into the phenomena that's going in and out with the integration of waves and specifically this 36-day period. And as you say, it's been repeating itself, but it's the highest frequency in the sense that it's only 36 days. So it's frequent in the sense that every 36 days, this repeats itself, and there's a peak in it, and then there's a trough in it. And this is those who are sensitive, especially during the peak cycles. A sparking or a peaking or a surging of this unity consciousness, more so to where people can have a greater identification for themselves or for the planet. This concept of unity consciousness can be a personal transformation as well as an understanding of and an insight and an intuition what's going on globally. This unity consciousness can be thought of as a whole systems theory manifesting. With a cognition of pattern recognition of the big picture of the whole system and it can be within one's own psychology. One can come into a more of a sense of wholeness, an integration in the aspects of one's own being, as far as perception and at least that's my understanding of it. And when you say this comes from the galactic center, I've actually been tuning into that a lot with your former books. And our former interviews and the research that I've done, the videos about your work as well as your own work itself, this understanding of the quantum field and the quantum order, the divine order of the holographic universe, how it's all connected, is this unified field is a unity consciousness. It's just that we've been surfeited in duality or the sense of separation from ourselves and each other, so I get excited about your work because I've been fascinated most of my life as kind of a science geek, and especially about the unified field theory and the understanding of the quantum field and how it's all connected from the atomic to the galactic. So it's not just coming from the galactic. I mean, it's in the field. These energy cycles, and this is what I've come to understand from your former books and your work, explaining that these nine waves and the whole history of Earth's evolution as a function of these waves, it's the most brilliant, you know, and you know, I don't mean to lay it on too heavy here, but I haven't seen a better understanding of the cycles within cycles that have an order and a frame of reference going back to the creation of the world and the evolution of consciousness, the evolution of life forms on the earth, and the evolution of energies and frequencies in the field, of the quantum field, and how that outpictures in from the atomic to the galactic, in our DNA and our consciousness, it's morphing the matrix. And of course, we can see the last 100 years how that process has been accelerating exponentially, to where now those who are conscious of how they are conscious, you know, moment to moment and month to month, and I look at this 36-day period as a way of tuning into the cycle and the software that you provided in that. There's an article provided from the internet that I've downloaded that I'll be able to see daily and pull up just like an application on my computer where we are on the 63-day cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really valuable because as we become conscious of how we are conscious, and the article goes into this, as we become, you might say, introspective as a function of these ninth wave cycles that are repeating themselves in this 63-day, these 36-day, this 30 period, you know, these cycles, the frequency cycles that are repeating themselves now, and now we're in the, what is the 64th, just the other day was the 64th one since 2011.
Yeah.
So I see that we're, you know, there's all over the world you're seeing, and this transcends politics. I realize it's more of an attunement to what I sometimes refer to as, you know, the intuitive connection of how everything is connected, and I sometimes refer to it as the divine feminine because women are more in their right brain than men are more so usually in their left brain. And the intuitive, holistic way of seeing things, and we usually ascribe it to the Oriental Eastern, the inscrutable Oriental Eastern mentality, which is more right brain dominant, just like Western civilization is more left brain dominant. And you've referred to this understanding in previous articles and in your books, and you've integrated it in a way that I've come to understand that there is this a field of all these different waves, and they're you might say cycles within cycles within cycles, and they're all integrating. You know, they have been integrating. You might say this ninth wave, which is like you say in the whole cosmology or concept of the Mayan calendar system. Of these cycles within cycles, the ninth wave is an integration of all the former waves, and I can see this integration going on with the internet. You know, I see that there's this instant, everywhere, interactive phenomena with the ubiquitous social networks. You know, the internet that we're all connected. So there's a unity consciousness going on there. A lot of people still, to this point, you know. Have not kind of adopted that unity consciousness as a function of the internet, and sometimes I wonder which comes first, the chicken or the egg. And I've pretty much come to the conclusion that the origin of the internet was a function of these cycles.
Well, thank you. That's a great summary of my work. I just thought about this. You said that this is something that transcends politics. Well, there are many ways of looking at that.
Yeah.
I would say that even now, and especially over time, this particular ninth wave will also have a significant effect of what we call politics. And yeah. and for one thing, since this wave was activated in 2011, with a higher frequency than has ever been active before, things are moving much more quickly. Yeah. And changes are taking place and shifts are taking place very, very rapidly. And there is already, and there will be even more so in the future, a sort of a general rule that political ideas, political personalities that are into division, into separation, into duality, they will have a harder time when the ninth wave is in a peak. Whereas people that are unity oriented, want global solutions that take everything into account, they will find it a harder time in those time periods that are valleys or troughs, if you like. So there is a fundamental wave process going on here, where that sort of alternates between unity in the days and back to duality in a sense, or dealing with the duality in the valleys. And I'm sure that over time that will be increasingly visible and clear to people. And this particular, to return to your original question about May 24th, it's not the beginning of the ninth wave. It's not the end of the ninth wave. It is one point in the ninth wave when I sense that the collective consciousness is so strongly affected by this particular ninth wave that it became a sort of a mass event or a global event on May 24th to mark the beginning of this peak in this unity energy that began on that particular day. And in a sense, it's quite amazing, you might say, that this was the focus on this particular day was really then on an event in South Africa that my friend Sean Caulfield had set up. Together with a group of Bushmen who had a ceremony that I watched and a lot of other people could watch on the internet, as you mentioned. It's really an amazing time. And the Bushmen is, you know, most people would probably say that this is the oldest culture of our planet. Yeah. And So when you are with them in this kind of a setting, you really sense how humble they are, that they are really expressing the essence of what it is to be a human being, sort of stripped of all the complicating realities that we have come to live in. And it's a culture also that is profoundly shamanistic. And shamanism by its nature, I think, is all about accessing everything, so to speak. It's going beyond the separating mind. And it's said that the Bushmen in the Kalahari are maybe one of the last, or maybe the last, I don't know, of the culture of the planet, who are in a kind of a spiritual, shamanistic, altered state as their default state of consciousness.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that maybe you and I, we are sometimes we're doing something, we're doing some practice, or we just, for whatever reason, we do access, we go out in some kind of a spiritual world that where we see things differently, and then we go back to what we consider the normal world of the real world, as we would talk about, where we work and sleep and eat and all that kind of stuff. But to the Bushmen, at least some of them, it's the other way around. to them, the default is the spirit world that they access with the trance dance. And then occasionally they go back to what we call the real world, because I'm sure they had to do that when they went by bus down from the Kalahari to Cape Town.
But well, anyway, what we call the real world, they call the dream world.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, no, that's right. That's right.
And I've been fascinated about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and that makes it very appropriate that they, at this particular date, this marking the beginning of a new ninth wave period, that they did this ceremony. And this is not the last such ceremony. We will be working ongoingly have these kind of ceremonies. So there will be one on June 29th, there will be one on August 4th, and there will be one on September. I can't remember what date. And the point is really for people to realize that now, as of 2011, it's possible to access, to create resonance with the ninth wave that really didn't go before, and that this is the highest frequency of the waves, and so that in that sense, this is the wave that defines the destiny of humanity. That's where we're supposed to go, and so we're supposed to develop this kind of a unity consciousness. And it's not something that happens once and then it's all over. It's something that happens as every step we go consciously into these waves, more and more deeply. With every new peak, we will go deeper and deeper into this unity. And not only will it turn out that this will affect the political world of humanity, it also is something that affects us, our relationships to as individuals, to ourselves, and to the all that is, and to other human beings. And you know, I keep thinking of the Patricia Albera. I don't know if you know her. Do you know her?
Sounds familiar, okay. But I can't finger it. Yeah.
No. Okay. Well, she has developed something called mutual awakening, and she has found that in the recent times, people can access what would be called self-transforming relationships, or develop self-transforming relationships. And the amazing thing is then that you can develop techniques where two different individuals are creating the same ideas, the same modes of thinking, almost just spontaneously, because
like morphic resonance. They've found it transcends all time and space, and people can across great distances, they can resonate, with the same concept. Well, it's kind of like the hundredth monkey effect when you get enough people doing the same thing.
Well, it is a little bit different, because this is our two people actually being together and developing
a relationship.
Coming from each other, coming from a third common source, coming from the relationship and what the relationship wants to express. And what's interesting about that is that this is a new phenomenon. You couldn't do that 10 years ago. And the reason this is, I believe, is the ninth wave removes all the filters. And that means it removes the filters between different individuals as well. And this creates some kind of a unified third thinking, you might say, or being. So it's this wave, you know, you can look upon it in two different ways. One is that as people increasingly consciously develop a resonance, when becomes aware of when the peaks are and where the valleys are, they will, as individuals, go towards unity consciousness, and they will be the pioneers creating a world based on unity consciousness and all what that means in terms of human relations.
I believe that. That's why I got excited when I saw the application that I downloaded, that I can see daily, you know, where we are on the cycles, because as we become conscious of how we are conscious, it's like we develop a conscience with a capital C, where we have a sensitivity. And I've been actually tuning into this at some time with your work, tuning into this. And I actually did an article on the 25th, you know, you might say, in recognition or honor of the 24th, realized, well, that was also, there was the full moon in Gemini, which was like a double Gemini, moon, sun, and Gemini. And I'm always looking for cosmic correspondence to the conscious evolution, revolution, revelations that are going on, you know, on the planet. And I kind of am, you know, gravitating towards, you know, becoming more aware of when in the collective field, in the collective conscience, when I publish an article, there will be more attunement to the concepts if they're referring to, you know, this unity consciousness, this collective, process of involving and evolving our individual and collective consciousness, you know, concepts like that are going to be much more resonant with, you know, people's ability to conceive it, believe it, and achieve it.
Great.
So I'm great. I don't learn fast, but I learn good.
Well, that's what to be honest with you, that's what the teacher would say to me too when I was 10 or 12. I wasn't the sort of the liveliest mind, but it came down eventually.
Yeah, you finally got the right downloads where you knew what your divine plan was.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited about your work. I'm sometimes like a kid in a candy store, you know, that's been deprived of Halloween candy gathering for years, and then I go in a candy store and I find all this exciting, the candy with the quantum field, everything, and the holographic universe, and you're talking about it and writing about it. And like I said, I've been kind of a science geek since I was a kid for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And back then it was like, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not. You know, you talked about this, you know, 30, 40 years ago. And, of course, about the only way we read about it back then was in comic books.
Yeah.
So it's come a long ways, there was numerous things that were mentioned, you know, regarding in this article, this recent article that I guess you just contributed to, but it was some really good, crucial things to understand as far as observing yourself in the wave and where you are in the wave. And I thought that was really, to me, it was like this was kind of the crux of it, is that as you, again, become aware of that these waves have been going on, it's actually kind of like massaging or messaging the same, like a rhythmic. It's almost like there's a birthing of the earth, and there, you've got these contractions, and there's and release and contraction and release, and you've got a peaking and then a trough and a peaking and a trough. Like the birthing of this unity conscience in the planetary, you know, in the global mind, and you've got more and more people each cycle. More and more people are, and a lot of people aren't conscious of this ninth wave stuff at all. But they're waking up in cycles. They'll wake up and then they'll go into a trough and deal with the stuff that they woke up to.
Yeah.
And it's like all the stuff in the media, you know, the fake news and the false flags and the. It's right on the surface, and people are, a lot of people are confounded because it's like such a cluster of misinformation and disinformation, and to sort through it, you know, at the same time we're getting, you know, all the bogus stuff, we're getting a lot of good information from all kinds of sources and blogs on the internet and videos. I'm seeing more good enlightened videos now in a week than I used to see in a month. And you know, I do compendiums, and I send out, you know, weekly, I try to send out compendiums of the best stuff. And the good stuff that's coming out right now that's just elucidating, and a lot of it's from, you know, galactic sources, you know, the Arcturians or the Pleiadians or the, you know, they're coming through people that have, have basically woke up with the unity consciousness. And I'm not a real big, I've been more of a science geek than into the psychism. But at the same time, I can I like scientifically to look at the pattern recognition, you know, what's emerging week to week, month to month. And now I'm going to tune into the cycles, you know, with the with this 36-day cycle, which is interesting. You know, it's like half of the cycle is 18 days, and a quarter of the cycle is 9 days, and there's 3 times 3, and so there's the 3, the 9, the 18, the 36, which is in the numerology of these cycles by themselves, and that the this frequency is repeating itself over and over with, like, waking up, you know, like, again, like the analogy to me, like, it's like these are the contraction cycles, you know, with the with you know, the global minds going into labor. We're waking up. And it's like there's like a wave of waking up, and then there's the trough, you know, where we're dealing with the stuff we woke up to. So I'm really thrilled with your work and the way it's progressing. And when I saw the timing of this and this article come out, and I checked my calendar and said, ooh, I got a radio show just a couple days after this. So I'm glad you're able to come on the show. There's a lot to this that people that are just discovering it, it's an extraordinary tool for, you might say, becoming an objective observer of your own stuff. You know, just kind of, you know, with the cycles, just, you know, and people can take it, you know, as with a grain of salt. They can look at these cycles. They can kind of tune into it. They can look at the world, what's going on. And they can look at their own stuff. You know, if people are into their astrology, psychology, they can factor that in. But the idea is that everyone that has a conscience, you know, with a capital C, and might say is aware of how they are aware and meditates on a regular basis, and basically just, you know, stills the mind, you know in the morning or whatever in meditation, and considers, you know, as you might say, as a point of reference in this process, considers where we are on these 36-day cycles. And like I say, this application that I can now pull up on my computer, there was a free download from this article. It was those internet resources that were referred to after the graphic of the picture of the 36-day cycle. There's a reference to some internet resources that describe this 36-day cycles and how we're in the 64th of these 36-day cycles, and how this is the frequent frequency that, you know, that we can now see frequently every 36 days, and, you know, when it's peaking and when it's troughing, as a kind of a point of objective point of reference as we're meditating, you know, in the world situation, in our personal situation, our relationships with others, I can see how this provides a really kind of congruent frame of reference that, to me, now having read your other books and interviewed you and studied what those books were about and really having a grasp of what this ninth wave means, which is still, you know, kind of an abstract, but the resonance concept and the frequency as something that's frequent rather than these larger cycles, huge cycles, like the first wave, the second wave, the third wave. We're talking about, you know, billions and then millions and then thousands of years in those cycles. Yeah. So the frequency of a 36-day cycle that we can, you know, we can objectively look at the world events on those waves. And of course, this was all known by the Mayans. This goes back, this way this is coded into the calendar system. And the way you've explained it and put on these cycles and on the charts that show over time, especially in recent history, the last 100 years, you can see with these different steps of the Mayan pyramid, the different waves of the Mayan pyramid, you know, up through the ninth wave, the eighth wave, seventh wave, sixth wave, those who study that and understand that and see how, in the most uncanny way, events of world history have followed the transitioning of these steps or these waves, and the transitioning of human consciousness in the last 100 years, the events, and I mean, it's beyond coincidence. I think for any real, true, authentic science geek who looks at it, you know, and just it's so far beyond coincidence. It gives credibility and trust actually to the frequency and the shift now. And so you have explained examples, you know, recently with the eighth wave and what we went through with the harmonic convergence back in 1987 and the conscious convergence in 2010, which marked the beginning of the pre-wave to the ninth wave. Mm-hmm. You've explained a lot of this. Some of this is explained well in this recent article that, you know, I've put on the show page notes that people can read that and go into more detail. That's just a taste. I mean, for someone that's new to this, that's just a taste of it. But people have been following your work. There's a lot of good synoptic stuff in this article. And I think that's why it got picked up by blogs and went on the internet, because, well, part of it is because the timeliness of it. You know, it's like the world was ready, or the world is ready during these speaking cycles, you know, to hear this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, you know, like jumping on the wave with the surfboard and hanging 10 toes over the front of it and trying to keep my balance. You know, and as I'm writing about this, and trying, you know, integrating different political events and social events, and not just political and social, but the economic big events of kind of a unity consciousness in economics is this global economic reset that's going on, and that's a huge thing that could only be possible with a higher understanding of collective goodwill, unity consciousness, common sense. There's different ways to say the same thing, but the instant everywhere interactive internet has just basically created a global village for the family of mankind that has got to the point that all the things that were upside down and backwards and misqualified from the duality perspective is now beginning there's a major shift. And again, it's not everyone. Some people listening to this show, you know, for the first time hearing this, that doesn't have any commeasurement, you know, there's always going to be you know, skepticism. But at the same time, those who followed your work and understand the cycles, how everything is energy fields and cycles within cycles, and that there's a method to the madness. There's an order to the holographic universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited to see that there's events going on like what happened with the Bushmen in Cape Town here on May 24th, because it's been my understanding of the Bushmen that they've always had an extraordinary unity consciousness, which humanity now as a whole is returning to.
Yeah.
It's been referred to as effective sensory perception by some people, but the shamanistic thing in native cultures all over the world had more of this. Like Chief Seattle out in Washington used to say, you know, that we're all just part of the field. You know, we didn't create, his whole understanding of an explanation of reality is that we are a function of the field. You know, there is this unity consciousness, and that we didn't create the web of life. The web of life or light, you know, created us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's this there's this thing with Native peoples worldwide, such as the ancient Mayan. I mean, they obviously, the shaman, the high priest, the Poco Pical or whatever his name was, I don't know whether he had aliens that beamed down. how he got the understanding of all this and the brilliance of it, and of course how their whole culture, in a major cycle, you know, just thrived and then just somewhat disappeared, and what happened to him, of course, that's a kind of a mystery still. But there was such a, almost like in I'm thinking of the native cultures in the Southwest that thrived and then disappeared. And some people say, well, they were beamed up or they ascended or something. But there's a process going on in the world now to see the Bushmen and other native cultures resonating with this, and the collective conscience of humanity resonating with it and becoming, in a scientific and an objective way, aware of, you might say, the method to the madness or the order of the universe, or how, you know, this goes way, way back with a frame of reference that somehow the shamans in the Mayan civilization knew and put in code, I mean, virtually etched in stone, you know, the Aztec sunstone and their other writings, it's like the Egyptian hieroglyphs, they etched them in stone.
Yeah.
So I'm really fascinated with the process, and you explain it, and you have been explaining it a lot better than me in terms of, you know, tying in the quantum physics, holographic evolution, and the destiny of humanity. But I can see that you're, you know, now bringing to awareness something that has been unconscious. And as a tool, this process of, you know, whether you light a candle or a sacred fire or face the sun on the first day of this 18-day peaking cycle, or, you know, or whether you're going to deep meditation to prepare yourself, you know, for the second half of the 36-day cycle and the valley cycle, you know, to prepare yourself for, you know, what has you might say, become self-evident, or, you know, that you resonated with in the first 18 days of the beginning of the cycle. I don't know. To me, that seems like, you know, the sacred path of self-correcting, self-elevating salvation, as far as, you know, becoming aware of one's divine plan, divine destiny, gifts of talents, how best to use one's, you know, God-given gifts and talents to, you know, in personal relationships, or, you know, make sense if you're a writer or publisher, and these bloggers that are connecting the dots of what's going on globally with really a movement towards unity consciousness. I mean, it's like this evolution of social conscience and social networks. There's now, what is it, 1.8 billion people on Facebook alone.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and they're sharing, they're interacting, and it's like real time. It's like a day to day and week to week. So it, you know, within these cycles, I'm amazed. I use the Facebook as a research tool to keep my finger on the pulse of the global mind and what's going on and that's why I kept seeing your blog, you know, blogs about, you know, this article and your recent work, and that wasn't happening before. I mean, there's this we call it critical mass or it's resonance. You know, there's just the unity consciousness thing, as the shaman have known, has always been there for us to access. It's just that the Western civilization in particular, the left-brain dominant, linear, logical, you know, compartmentalized thinking, is just coming to this point where the right-brain, nonlinear, spherical, spiritual, intuitive, you know, divine feminine aspects of cooperation rather than competition, it has matured. And it's mm-hmm. like becoming a self-evident truth, and that's the resonance, I think, with these cycles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of going off on all this stuff.
That's great. It's very good. But I guess I just wanted to relate to what you mentioned, an aspect that I think is very important as well, which is sort of the self-correcting aspects of that,
yeah.
you know, following, assuming, and I'm not only assuming, I'm basing myself on the totality of the nine waves of the Mayan calendar system, assuming that goes, that the purpose of humanity is to come into resonance with the ninth wave, develop unity consciousness, and through developing unity consciousness, perceive reality without separation. And that in turn is exactly what you would expect would lead to what you might talk about as a golden age. So this is a realistic thing if we realize that there is a history to the human mind, that there are certain separating eras in the past, and then there are other waves that are creating unity. Now, but we're all, like I was born in 1950, so I, you know, at that time it was basically only up until the seventh wave that was activated. And since then, both the eighth wave and the ninth wave have been activated. But basically then I'm shaped, you know, being born that far into the past, it means that I'm shaped by a certain kind of a filter to reality that really... You know, what the way that filter worked of the seventh wave was really to make people only believe in the material reality. The filter disconnected people from the calling of the light, of the divine light. Uh-huh. Now, so what that means is that, you know, I'm not saying that I'm a bad person or even close to that. But anyway, that's where I'm coming from. And my whole generation is basically coming from being dominated by that particular filter. And the result of that is that if we want to be part of moving towards the golden age, it means that we'll have to create resonance with the ninth wave and step by step sort of transcend all the kind of darkness, you might say, that we have, that we were born into, that were part of the field when we were born into it. And that's what that means in turn is that none of us today, I would say, is like a perfect expression of unity consciousness. I'm sure there are people out there that are more developed. Absolutely, there are some people are more developed embodiments of unity and light. But then, in order to get there, for almost all of us, we will have to self-correct our course. We can't just stay in like, for me, in my case, the being a seventh wave person. That doesn't work. We have to go into this ninth wave. And then when we are in the peaks of the ninth wave, which is really the ones where the unity consciousness becomes available, that's when we get the information, the guidance, the if we're tuned into it and know how it feels, how this wave period feels, then that allows us to do some kind of self-correction so that we also become part of the solution, so that we also become someone going in the direction towards a golden age. And regardless of the, you know, if this may take a couple of decades or something like that, we are still part of the solution rather than of the problem. If we choose to make the wave a something that helps us self-correct and helps us guide in all respects to where we are to go, because then we have to be part of this collective process of even if all our, you know, we all have our individual missions or destinies or whatever, the golden age doesn't come from everyone doing their own thing. It comes from doing what you're supposed to do, but doing that within a collective process towards the light, towards unity consciousness.
Co-creation, not
yes.
only with each one's own divine destiny, but a co-creation with you know, the people worldwide who really have, you know, the pure intention to raise the standard of in all of our social, political, and economic institutions. And I like your analogy in the article about tuning into a newly established radio station. You know, this concept of resonance with the ninth wave. How, you know, to be the first thing, you know, with establishing with a newly established radio station, you've got to be informed that the station exists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, so as people are informed that this ninth wave phenomena and the understanding of this ninth wave phenomena, that it exists, and like in my case, now I've got the application, I'll be checking, on a regular basis where we are in the cycle. And, of course, that's like the first stage, you know, the cycle exists, the station exists, this ninth wave is real, where we are on it. And then the second part is to know what frequency this station is broadcasting on. Like,
yeah.
you know, every radio station, you got to tune to it. Well, the ninth wave has a frequency, and when the frequency is peaking, there is this unity consciousness. I like to think of it as common sense, which is uncommon, but there's a peaking of that frequency in the unified field of the sense of connection, you know, all that is real, and that's the next part of establishing a new radio station. And the listener may need then to tune into the frequency that so they we get a clear signal, you know, just like a radio radio signal.
Exactly.
You got to tune it so you get it really clear. Well, that's this thing of attunement, you know, to this frequency. What it is in principle, you know, as far as unity consciousness, common sense, the higher Christ mind, Christ-like consciousness. You know, you go to the Father through the Son consciousness, however you want to frame it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of basically tuning into that, you know, and having that attunement so that you can look at the world, you know, from that inner sense, the innocence of that inner sense, can look at the world from, you know, basically, you know, the man of God sees God in all man. You know, from the perspective of the ninth wave, you begin to see the order of things, you know, in oneself and the world at large. And basically, you know, as far as self-correcting, a self-learning system, you know, a self-learning process, a creative learning process, you know, I can see where that concept of resonating with this ninth wave station can be a powerful tool for what some people call oneness or the ascension process or fourth dimensionality or, it integrates. This ninth wave of understanding integrates all this.
Yeah. Yes. I would say so.
So, you know, we're going to have to do a wrap here. Carl, would you like to wrap it up with any concepts that send us on our way in a direction towards a global phenomena of future that we can all look forward to?
Well, you know, I got a chance to say most of the things, and I should say we're also working on making a telephone app that will be have much more broader applicability when it comes to helping people synchronize their activities between themselves. And also with the ninth wave. I guess at the same time, you know, consciousness, these different frames of consciousness, they may be expressed in the world. And what I do want to, for those that have developed their resonance to a certain point, that they can really feel the shifts between the peaks and the valleys and so forth, and start to feel that they have the wind on their back on certain time periods, and then that there are more resisting time periods as well. But this needs to be expressed in especially the peak times, and we're in this peak time right now.
Yeah.
It needs to be expressed. It could be expressed politically. It could be expressed in your personal relationships, or it could be expressed in how you are developing your own mission, your own purpose of life, and really use this. It's not just sort of about changing our minds, that's fine, but that's sort of, unless it's expressed, it really doesn't help the world go towards the golden age.
Yeah.
But if it is expressed, and it could be in a million different ways, it doesn't have to sound big, so to speak, but if it is true, authentically a reflection of a peak in the ninth wave, and you express this, then you are actually personally contributing to the manifestation of the destiny of humanity.
I believe that. And Carl, I'm so glad you're able to come on the show today. And I'm going to cherish this interview. There was just a lot of keynotes for my life. I hope listeners have enjoyed it as much as I have. And I am grateful for those who listened this far. Then, Carl, everyone, keep the faith, see the good, make it so, and hope to interview you before too long again. Carl, this has been good today.
Thank you.
Thanks,
great.
Carl. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll be back in a couple weeks, and we'll finish up with a little bit of meditation. So bye for now.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.